Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Scheman and Shepherd.
They tried to get rid of me, but from ocean to ocean, they gonna have to deal with me.
I've been overlooked, slept on, left for dead. Always against all odds like Pac said. I'm the living Great Gatsby. But these boys are watching quick and disappear like Banksy. From ocean to ocean, sea to sea, I'm something that you gotta see.
Scheman and Shepherd. Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
It's so bad.
Chris spinning the stacks of wax on the other side of the glass. So this is from the new
Aquaman
movie, yeah. Which looks decent.
Oh, it looks fantastic.
It's just such a bad song.
And that was done by who? That was
Pitbull.
No, that's the sound like Pitbull.
Pitbull see, and Rhea.
See, you didn't know who Pitbull was the other day, Pete. That's Pitbull.
Rhea's singing.
Speaking of music, but good music, let me segue back to this and what we
legendary.
Got to do at the top of the hour. John Lodge, the lead singer of the Moody Blues, is in the building. Well, one of our rock and roll stations, and Pete and I occupied his time in the hallway. I don't know if he was late for his day. I saw the Moody Blues in concert like in the 1980s or something like that.
They were
Knights
fantastic.
In White Satin is a classic.
I saw them on tour when they had the orchestra with them, and it is, man, I've just always been a big fan of the music, and of course I had to go out and ask John at the end of Knights in White Satin, you know, Breathe Deep, and you know, all that's because there's so much analysis that goes into, and you heard all sorts of theory. It was gibberish, it was nothing, it means this, it means that. But he just told an hysterical story about when he was golfing at the Walt Disney Classic, and Bryant Gumbel was hiding behind the tree, and he was ready to putt on the green. And all of a sudden, Bryant is up, Breathe Deep.
That's pretty funny.
Which, if you know the song, you know, everybody knows that.
Well, I don't. Chris probably doesn't know. Chris, I'll bet if you played it, you would know it. Feel free to look it up. Knights in White Satin. It's a pretty long song.
So knight with a K or an N?
Ugh.
Is it talking about a knight like
K.
Sir Richard Branson? Or is it talking about an evening?
Knights. N-I-G-H-T-S.
Okay, that was a simple question.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I've got a question. Anytime I run into a rock and roller who was big in when I was younger, and now obviously they're older, and I believe John's in his early 70s. They still have fantastic hair. Oh. How do they pull that off? I mean, you could change colors and all that. Doesn't have to be gray, but man, he's got a full head of hair. It's all flowy and wavy. How does one do that?
I don't know.
Usually when you get to be that age, it's gone.
That song came out in That song came out the year, April, May, June, July, about 7 months after I was born in 1967.
All right. Now, it's a slow song, Chris. Did you find it?
Well, they have some other. They have great stuff.
Did you find it? Do you want to play it?
He's not going to. No? He's not.
Well, you just found it just for the heck of it? You want to play it for your own
I'm listening to it right now.
Yeah? Go ahead. Pot it up. Come on. Pot it up. It's Friday.
It gives you goosebumps.
Come on, man. A six pack behind this, just chilling out. Some
hand in hand. Such an awesome, awesome tune. Just
what I'm going. You want to explain to everybody why we're not at Walmart again?
Yeah, I do. I'm doing that every segment. But we had a Moody Blues moment I had to get, which was more important. All right, so we were going to be broadcasting from Walmart in Estero. And Estero Parkway and 41 Tamiami Trail. Our people are still out there from Beasley Broadcasting. We are still doing the Beasley Bike Drive. We've raised over 700 bikes, trying to get to 1,000, or at least 993. The wind was so ferocious when we were to take our the airwaves at 2 o'clock. It blew our tent over. 96 K-Rock's tent blew into our... I mean, it was a mess. And I believe there's some inclement weather on the way, too. So here's what you can still do. Our people are still out there. You can still drop off the bikes, the toys, everything. And please feel free to do that. Everything's still going on. Or if you want to, you can even come to the studios. We're literally across the street. Just look up in the air and see our big broadcast transmitter hovering over the Walmart parking lot. Our building is right below it. So worm your way back there. And if you want to come in and you're a business, we'll even let you promote your business. Come on, and say hi on the air, and thank you for your generosity. So, but the bike drive is still going on. We are just not broadcasting out there because things got a little dicey weather-wise. We can't do a show in a 30-mile-an-hour
wind. I can't stress enough how awesome – I mean, I'm giving everybody who's worked so hard at this, Rachel, Morgan, all the street team coordinators, everybody who's involved in this thing. It's overwhelming when you take a ride over there and see what's going on.
It's really cool.
And the look on those kids' faces.
See all those bikes.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So our goal is 1,000, so help us out. But, yeah, we're just – took the show back indoors. The drive is still on. Very good.
941, it is an awesome song. It's a Hall of Fame song, period. End of, there is no discussion.
Well,
there is no discussion.
Anything can be discussed.
No, well, not,
is
not,
there a question what the song is about?
Well, I mean, you can look it up and see that it's just
no,
that
I wanted to know. You said that you had to ask him a question. I closed the door when you said, I got to ask my one groupie question.
No, it's about, there's a verse at the end, and I don't know it off the top of my head, where the song ends, and it's, the lyrics, it's an inside meaning. You can look it up, and it's open for interpretation. Let's put it that way.
Now, his, John Lodge's son is with him.
Mm-hmm.
I've been informed that his son used to work here back in the day.
Christian!
Yeah.
A couple fun nights with Christian.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how long ago was that?
A few years ago.
Yeah.
Well, a while ago. Maybe 5 years ago, yeah. 6 years ago.
All right.
Long time.
No.
Long time.
5, 6 years, long time. All right. Do we get our poll up?
Yes.
All right. I forgot what it was. MVP, right?
Yeah, at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Who's the MVP of the NFL season so far? We've got just over 100 votes. 16% say Drew Brees. 20% say Phillip Rivers. 7% say Aaron Donald. 57% have Patrick Mahomes. Wow.
What was the first one? Brees?
Brees, 16%.
Oh. And I ask because I feel like it fluctuates from week to week, and I don't want to be that guy. Like, I say one thing one week and say another thing the next week, because that's not me. But I feel it has been oscillating throughout the season between Mahomes and Brees. And now I think Phillip Rivers is a strong candidate. The guy's won 11 games, and nobody notices because it's way out in San Diego, and people don't pay attention to late. Oh. Did it again.
It's okay.
Because they're the B team
Stephen
in
a.
Los Angeles.
Okay, Stephen A.
Oh, don't call me Stephen A.
How about that apology?
By the way, let's
today.
Talk about that.
Come on, man.
Yesterday,
I like it.
Stephen A. previewed the Chiefs game. It was on his TV show because he wasn't
on radio all week.
No, it was on First Take.
Yeah. And he starts talking about guys that haven't played for the Chiefs since the Super Bowl IV. I'm exaggerating.
No, but he was excited to see the Hunter-Henry matchup.
Right.
Hunter-Henry.
Yeah.
Tore his ACL,
right.
I believe, in August.
Yeah, hadn't been around. But he was also excited
to see what Spencer Ware could do.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Who had been ruled out since last week.
Yeah. So.
But he apologized. I liked it.
He came on the air today with 1 minute left in his first hour and says, look, I made a mistake yesterday. All right, people were talking in my ear. And I got confused. I lost my train of thought. It happens. So get over it. I own up to my mistakes.
Just come on.
I'm just not going to be the one to lambast the guy.
I did not lambast him. I respectfully just said exactly what happened. I reported the facts.
Mm-hmm.
Fact, because that's what I'm all about.
No, but I'm not going to say like, clearly doesn't even watch football.
I did not say that.
No, people are saying that.
Yeah. I'm going to say he had a bad day.
Yeah.
That was all it was.
Right. It happens. Right?
Yeah.
Are people really still asking about our poll from 3 days ago about which Rocky movie was better?
Yeah. I'll conclude the polls from the last few days. Which Rocky movie was the best? We had over 350 votes, 1 through 4. 47% came back Rocky. That was your winner.
All right.
Rocky 2 and Rocky 3 both tied with 14%. And Rocky 4, my favorite, had 25% of the vote.
Okay.
And then yesterday we ran the poll. If you saw a Brinks truck spilling money in the streets, would you stop traffic to get out and take it? 466 votes. That's a nice Twitter poll for us.
Yeah.
68% said yes, they would.
All right. 2/3 of you are dishonest. All right. Very good.
Well, crossing the median and all that, that's a major. Now, this wasn't a two-lane road. This was a major highway.
I'd do it.
There was an old lady out there with her walker collecting money.
I was expecting, since Odell Beckham's not going to play this week, he could have run out and helped. He was right down the street from MetLife where they play.
He could have. No doubt.
She's funny.
Yeah. A couple college notes. Bowl season starts tomorrow. I heard your deal, and I read this earlier, that Mackenzie Milton has already had four surgeries.
That knee. Yep.
And this fourth one is to stabilize it so he can go travel and watch the team in the bowl game.
Right, but the nerve was not damaged like long term. They fixed the nerve, which was great news. Blood flow to the lower half of his leg.
That was important.
Is back. I mean, it really is, for as gruesome of an injury that it was.
Yeah.
I mean, for them to be talking about he's going to fly across the country and be able to walk around, like, that's unbelievable.
They haven't done the rebuild yet, the reconstruction. That, I assume, is going to be the fifth surgery?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Wow. I mean, when you're laying down, but your lower half of your leg's still standing after the, I mean, that's what it was.
That was one of the two worst injuries that I've ever seen watching a game.
Yeah.
That and Willis McGahee. Those two are.
Yeah, I mean, there's about five or six of them.
I never
right up
got
there.
A good look at Willis McGahee. I was, because I was on the field. I was at that I was at that game.
I was in Aruba.
Oh, they showed the replay, and it was like, oh, I mean, everybody.
Now, worse than Alex Smith and Joe Theismann?
It was just different.
McGahee tore everything.
Like, what's his name from Louisville when he snapped his leg?
When I was watching the game, it happened. You know, I wasn't watching the.
Theismann was before you were born, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. What year was it?
Was it 80? It was 30 years ago. Yeah, it was before you were born. Yeah, yeah. We just had the 30-year anniversary of it. Oh.
I remember being in Aruba, having a great time, and I got sick. Sick to my stomach. Didn't.
I'll throw Paul George in there as well. I was watching that scrimmage, Team USA.
Did you see Bone? We saw Bone, right?
They showed that replay a couple of times, and then they showed one angle where it was clear that there was a snap, and they were done showing that replay.
Gordon Hayward wasn't pretty either.
No.
Again, I told you I wasn't watching that game. I went on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing Gordon Hayward trending. I'm thinking, wow, guys lighting it up for the Celtics. Yeah. Good for them. And I turn it on. The game was on TNT, and I turn it on, and it's like, oh, no.
Yeah, we had just left here. It was opening night, and I hadn't quite settled in, because it was like the first 2 minutes of the game.
Yep.
I hadn't settled in yet. I didn't see it live. But they kept showing it. Oh, they
did they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
I know. It was 24 hours before they started pixelating the injury.
That was terrible. And I remember there's a Red Sox White Sox exhibition game before they were in Fort Myers when they were at their other place, and the guy for the White Sox, I forget his name, but his foot was dislocated, his ankle, his foot was backwards after he slid into home plate. Backwards.
I can't do that.
Moving on.
We were talking about Mackenzie Milton and college football. Gus Malzahn, more college football news. Was finally asked by reporters about his what brought up the situation where he was supposed to take less money in order to keep his job and alter his contract. He said, I was never told I had to change my contract to keep his job. So there's no alteration to his $32 million buyout, I guess. But he better win 10 games next year.
Or did he willingly just give the money back?
Oh, nobody does that. Nobody does that.
If you want to keep your job.
No, I'm making him pay me my $32 million.
Buy me out.
Exactly. FIU running back Shondarius Phillips has played the entire 2018 season while being wanted on a domestic violence warrant for his arrest.
Yeah.
Butch Davis, way to know what's going on in your program.
Third leading rusher on the team. What else? Priorities.
Makes it okay.
Yeah, that's
so ridiculous.
That is okay.
Once again, really, arrest warrants, not eligible for parole, but eligible to play in the NCAA or the NFL. That's unbelievable.
Parole. That's good. somebody didn't get to yesterday. Syracuse extended Dino Babers' contract. Why is this guy not being talked about for other jobs? I think this is a good coach doing good things in a place that's hard to win football up at Syracuse.
No, you don't just take the first one. You don't just take the first one. You sit back. You let that job that you want, the job where you know you can make it work, you wait for that to become open. I don't know what that job is.
But what if you throw up a 4-7 season, 4-8 season in the meantime? Then you're going to lose your luster. I think the iron is hot now. Strike.
I mean, he was being tied to some pretty big-time jobs coming off of last year's season.
Yeah, he was.
Syracuse didn't have the success that they had this year.
Yeah. No, but they beat Clemson last year, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That'll help. That'll help you get a good job.
954. What about Sports Illustrated's cover with Tony C. Tony Conigliaro? Yeah, that. I mean, but that was gruesome, horrible.
What one was that?
Oh, that was in 6'7", right?
What happened to his
possible
face?
Dream? Oh, he got hit by the Angels. What's his name? Hit him in the face, and that was he was the fastest player to ever get to 100 home runs, and his career was cut way, way, way short. He died way, way, way too young. It was horrific. He got hit in the face by a fastball from the Angels, and I should know this, but I'm having a brain cramp. And I know you've seen the picture, Craig.
He didn't die from the hit, though.
No, but he basically it
ruined his life.
It did. It ruined it. He made a comeback in 75.
So they have a still frame picture on the cover of Sports Illustrated with the ball crushing in his face.
No, aftermath is a giant black guy.
Giant dent.
Seen the cover.
You've seen it.
I know. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's too bad because he was a great, great player.
Wow.
But yep.
All right. How can we pivot out of this? Like gruesome injury talk.
I want to know if Miami Dolphin fans are fired up about this game. I feel like there's no passion out there for this game. This is a huge game in more ways than one.
It is.
If the Steelers should beat the Patriots, which I don't think is going to happen, but if they do, you're only a game out of the division.
Make it happen.
Man.
I'm looking forward to this game. I think Miami's got a little pep in their step, and I think Minnesota is spiraling down the toilet drain right now.
Can I tell you why there's hesitation on Dolphin fan? Because the last 2 years we've been in this spot.
This is where you get let down?
In December with the chance, if you win the rest of your games, you're in the playoffs. And 2 years ago it paid off. Last year it fell on our face with Jay Cutler at the helm. But, I mean, you look at the last – what is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 road games. Lost 7-38 to the Pats. Lost 27-17 to the Bengals. Lost 42-23 to the Texans. Lost 31-12 to the Packers. Lost 27-24 to the Colts. Those are the last 5 road games for this team. The only road win for the Miami Dolphins this season was a 20-12 win against the Jets all the way back in week 2.
2-9 says, one thing I learned about my Fins is never get excited. How can you be a...
You got to seize the moment. Enjoy the moment. Okay, maybe they... I don't know. But, it's like the old saying, it is better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all, right?
Really?
I mean, what would you rather do? Not ever be in it or have your heart break and...
No, I hear what you're saying, but... Us Dolphins, our hearts have been broken to the point where we're going to say, I'm excited. I'm watching the game Sunday at 1. I'll be in my lucky chair drinking my lucky beer and my lucky koozie with my lucky Dan Marino jersey on.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go around acting like some sort of buffoon the way I did going into week 4 against the Patriots and inevitably have this team let me down again.
No, I like the buffoonery afterward that got 4,000 hits on Facebook. That was classic. I want that again.
I won't be just as excited if the Dolphins win this weekend, but I'll be up there.
Yeah.
It'll be a 9 on a 1-10 scale.
Nice.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you're catching them at the perfect time. Absolute perfect time.
All right, so we want to hear from Dolphin, or maybe you're hedging your excitement because you don't want to be hurt, or maybe you're all in. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. I think this one's worthy of getting excited about, I think.
I think so, and if you're going to win a road, I mean, this is a perfect time. This team lost to Buffalo at home, or they lost to Buffalo at their place earlier this year.
I hear what you're saying.
If the Dolphins really, if they lay an egg in this one, I will be, as a football fan, will be really disappointed. I don't think they're going to lay an egg. I don't. I think, just don't do anything stupid. I think they're playing better football right now than Minnesota is. On paper, maybe they have better players. It looks, I don't know, in some spots, but they could be. That's not a good football team right now. Miami's playing better.
Yeah.
That's a winnable game.
Keep in mind, Minnesota's coming out. This is the first game. They're going to have a new offensive coordinator, right?
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins is supposedly being involved in the game plan. Head coach says he's going to be involved. I don't know. They might be a little out of sorts.
Okay, they might be a little out of sorts. They also might have gotten a big-time reality check when you go into Seattle on a Monday night and get manhandled like that.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the defense. The defense held its own for right. Minnesota, mm-hmm. and that's what scares me.
Yeah.
Can the Dolphins put up enough points to hang?
Oh, I don't think they need a whole lot of points. I think 20 gets it done.
2017?
Yeah, I think 20 gets it. I think if you can jump out to a lead on the Vikings, they're going to fold. I think that team is in disarray right now. You can get them. I'm telling you, man, Dolphins should be smelling blood. Play like sharks. Go get them.
They can't play like sharks. They're Dolphins. Let's go to the phones. Mike and Benita, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
As far as the Dolphins go, I mean, I don't want to get my hopes up. I mean, it is the Dolphins. I think they had their little mini Super Bowl moment last week.
This week,
they're going to be scoreboard watching with the Titans and the Ravens and everybody that's ahead of them. Broncos play on Saturday. So they're kind of going to know their fate before they actually finish their game. And as they see it fading away and they start circling the drain, it'll be time to put that little song away for another year.
But there's only one team technically ahead of them right now, and that's Indianapolis. And if Dallas...
Well, yeah, and they're going to lose to the Cowboys, so...
Well, that's a good thing if you're a Miami fan. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but if you're a Miami fan, you want Dallas to beat Indianapolis.
If there's a way for Miami to lose and not make it, they'll find it.
But wasn't that way to lose last week?
No, that was a fluke. Gronkowski trying to make a tackle? Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
that's
but
pure luck.
What about the 189 yards that gashed
enough to keep us hanging on?
But what?
To make us think we got it.
What about the way he ran the football?
Yeah.
What do you mean,
We'll see. I mean, it's in Minnesota. It's the Patriots.
So what? It's inside. Minnesota lost to Buffalo at home. Badly.
Well, I'm not worried about the weather. It's just, it's road games. It's sad. Yeah. I mean, it is Kirk Cousins, though, so we do have a chance.
All right, before you go, listen to this, Mike, though, right? If Tampa Bay upsets Baltimore, which I don't see that happen, but if they did, and Dallas beats Indianapolis and Miami beats the Vikings, guess what? You're the sixth seed.
Well, if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm telling you, man, that's the mentality of most Miami Dolphin fans right now. There is a hesitation to buy in. It was a great moment Sunday afternoon. It was fantastic.
But you're afraid to keep it rolling, so you're squashing it on your own.
But this is what the Dolphins, they did it. They did it last year. Monday night, they beat the Pats.
Mm.
And a more convincing win last year than what they had this year.
Yeah,
but short week.
I get it. Jay Cutler,
Jay
all
Cutler,
that stuff.
Jay
I
Cutler.
Hear you on everything you're saying. But this team has done it to us, the fan base, just too many times. Too many times where you go on the road. I'm not even going to say and go play a good opponent. You play a decent, respectable opponent. You lay the egg.
I think as long as you don't let Dalvin Cook go nuts, because you know they're going to try and do what they said, run the ball a lot better. I don't know. I this team can be defended. They are not playing well right now. Kirk Cousins is psychologically damaged after last week. I'm telling you, he's afraid to throw the ball down the field. You can get to him.
I hope you're right.
You can get to him.
I hope you're right. But now we're talking about our defensive. I mean,
if this game were on a neutral field, how would you feel about it?
Better?
All right, let's go to the phones. Right. Paul in Naples, John with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
What the hell is going on around here?
You tell me.
No, I know that. That's Vince Lombardi. I know. What's going on, Paul?
Well, Dolphin fans, I'll tell you what. I moved from the East Coast of Florida over here 2 years ago. There are no Dolphin fans here, okay?
Yes.
We've got a – Pete, you got it right, Pete. We got a great chance. Minnesota's down, and we're ready to pounce. I don't understand it.
I don't either. And you can't. You got to throw the past away. You can't look at the past. And I know, trust me, I went through tons of heartbreak in my lifetime before the last 20 years. But I know. But every year's different, and you're catching the Vikings at the absolute perfect time right now. I think it's a winnable game. I'm not just spewing stuff.
All right,
I'm not either. But I was there last week, 32-year season ticket holder. It's an hour and a half drive over there. Chris, you need to pick it up, man. you need to get crazy because everybody's walking around over here like dolphins who? There are no bucks. There's only dolphins. We got a real shot here. And I'll tell you what. When the Pats get beat against Pittsburgh and they split their last two, we win the division.
Yeah.
Now you're getting crazy.
Now you're getting me all jacked up.
All right. Now you're getting crazy.
We're late. We got a guest coming. Let's blow through these real quick. Wig in Fort Myers, state your case.
Hey, Wig.
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
What's
up? I'm with Chris, man. I've been a Dolphins fan pretty much 48 years, or 49 years of my life. And I remember when we had a real chance to go to the playoffs. I think it was year before last. All we had was Buffalo and New York.
Yeah.
They were the sorriest teams in the world.
Yep. Yep.
We laid an egg on both of those games. All we had to win, it was just one of it. And that was coming off of beating people like Pittsburgh. That when we had Jay Ajayi, you know, and I was like, hey, maybe we can do something.
Yeah.
And then we laid the egg, just like Chris said. And it's, trust me, we love the Dolphins. I love the Dolphins. But something in their psyche is like, okay, we got to win. We good for next week. We don't got to do nothing.
We're good. We took care of it. Thanks, Wig. Appreciate the phone call.
Man.
All right, we're late. We got Field Yates coming up. I was glad we got those calls in, though. Field Yates from ESPN. We'll talk some NFL with him and get his thoughts on last night's game as well and what's going on with the Eagles and Carson Wentz. All that coming up. Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
You can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Letters I've written, never meaning to send.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
Man. Awesome.
Moody Blues. John Lodge in the building.
Yeah.
So playing some Moody Blues music. And coming up in a moment, we've got Field Yates from ESPN. He'll be with us in seconds for our weekly visit. His appearance is brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Check out their website at betterplantoday.com and schedule yourself a free consultation. A lot of things we want to talk to him about. With his opinion on last night, and the Chargers going for two, going for the win, very ballsy move, and I liked it. It was a fun game to watch, even though it was a 14-point game in the fourth quarter. It was a fun game. Something told you just better hang around.
Totally agree. I couldn't shut it off.
It was
fantastic.
All right, so Field is with us right now. Field, how are you?
Hey, Field.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Good to talk to you.
Yeah, we were just discussing last night's game, even though it was a 14-point game in the fourth quarter. Something told you just better hang around and watch that thing. And then the ballsy call to go for two and the win instead of the tie, it was just awesome. It worked. I mean, I guess I'd be singing a different tune today if it didn't work, because I certainly would have kicked it and tied the game instead of going for the win. But, man, what a great game that was. And the Chargers, just what a great season they're having.
Yeah, and you know something, Craig? It goes back before just the 2-point conversion. I don't want to say that the Chargers played a perfect game last night, because the reality is it's not a perfect game when you turn the football over twice in the first half, and Phillip Rivers took full responsibility for that. I just got to say, by the way, before I continue my answer, I love Phillip Rivers, and I don't care what team you root for. If you don't love Phillip Rivers and appreciate him, that's a problem. That guy is tremendous, and love to see him shine on the national stage. But going on with the answer about how it wasn't perfect from the Chargers, but it wasn't just a 2-point conversion. In the second half, they were playing at such a deliberate pace. Basically, they were giving themselves very little margin for error. It was, we're not going to speed things up to try to score quick. We're going to do what we think is most effective. Long drive in the second half, and we're going to find a way to get a stop of the Chiefs. And they did that. Obviously, they stopped the Chiefs deep in their own territory late in the game to force a punt. And even after taking a first down holding penalty, the Chargers managed to go 70 yards in about 2 minutes and 35 seconds in what was one of the best drives of the NFL this season.
And it's amazing what could happen next week if the Chiefs lose in Seattle and the Chargers take care of business at home against a tough Baltimore team, depending on what happens. But you could be I mean, who would have thought 4 weeks ago the Chiefs may actually have to go on the road if they want to get to the Super Bowl and win three on the road? Who would have thought that 3 or 4 weeks ago?
Yeah, and I still feel like it's a little bit premature to start discussing that, Pete, only because there is, you know, the Chiefs have the edge. I mean, right now, if you were to play out the rest of the season, the Chiefs have the best shot at the number one seed in the AFC going forward, and I have a hard time envisioning them losing back-to-back games. But it's the margin for error is significantly slim for the Kansas City Chiefs now. I still have a lot of faith in that offense. I think the question for the Chiefs is just what kind of defensive reparations can they make over the next 2 weeks, which basically amounts to practice time, because there aren't a lot of players that are around, you know, on the open market right now that you say, all right, bam, sign that guy, and all of a sudden we become a much better player, or a much better team, I should say. For Kansas City, it also sounds like they're going to be without Kendall Fuller, their best defensive secondary player right now because of a wrist injury. So a thin secondary gets thinner for Kansas City, and that's going to be, I think, what defines the Chiefs' season, is how they can play defensively in the playoffs.
One thing I like about the Chargers and find them so exciting to watch, you know, sometimes we hear the old cliche with the broadcasters, well, such and such team isn't built to come from behind. We've seen this team come from behind at 17 on the road at Pittsburgh and come from two touchdowns at Kansas City, two very difficult places to play by sizable margins, and come out with a win. I think that's going to bode well for them in the postseason. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could. You know, I just say this is like the formula, though, to win is never to play from behind, right?
Yeah, right.
You can't do that. Like, just because you are capable of it doesn't mean that you're comfortable with it. You know, it's like, I think that, you know, the Chargers, what allows them to be able to play from behind is this, is that these two games where they have struggled out of the gate has been lack of efficiency, not like a talent issue. It's been that the defense and the offense haven't been in full swing, or, you know, it's fully functioning levels up until halftime or the third quarter of a game. But they're so talented on defense and so good on offense as well that they are capable of being great in any given Sunday. But I can tell you this much, whether the Chargers, you know, we know they're capable of doing it, but you can bet your bottom dollar that there's no part of them that wants to be playing for multiple scores down, home, on the road, playoffs, or no playoffs.
Phil, the Miami Dolphins, I think, have there's a lot. We always talk about intriguing games. I think there's three or four of them. This is one of them to me. I think they're catching the Vikings at a great time. I think they're playing better football than the Vikings right now, it's going to be real fascinating to me if they can have some sort of semblance of a run defense, because you know they're right up there in takeaways. I think they have a legitimate shot to go into Minnesota. That team is falling apart at the seams and pull off an upset and stay in the hunt.
Yeah, it's so funny. I mean, you know, you watch the Dolphins each week and it doesn't make sense sometimes that they can be so good, guys. It's you know, it's and yet here they are at 7-6. So like, why doubt them? Meanwhile, you watch the Vikings and it's like they have all the talent. They have all the pieces that you really would, you know, if you were to draw, you know, if you were to do a draft of all the rosters in the NFL, you know, I think you probably would take, you know, the Saints or the Chiefs or the Rams first. Patriots would be up there. Steelers, Chargers would be up there. But the Vikings would be right there in the mix, too. Obviously, the Bears. The Vikings would be way up there. So this is sort of two teams. One that's outplaying expectations. One that's underplaying expectations. Something's got to give on Sunday.
And when you look at the Vikings, might they have some rust this weekend? Because, look, they were not happy with themselves, not running the ball. They made a change at offensive coordinator. Kirk Cousins says he's going to be more involved in the game planning now. They may come out swinging and miss or be rusty or something. I'm not sure what. So I think, again, that lends to the opportunity that Miami has before them.
Yeah, we always talk about these coordinator changes because, you know, it's a stark change, right? I mean, this is a big deal when someone gets fired from a very prominent position. But what I would say, guys, is like, what's the empirical evidence that we have this year that a coordinator change means absolute change? Right, I mean, we've seen teams like the Bengals move on, the Buccaneers move on from their defensive coordinator. They stay bad defensively. You know, they haven't gotten any better. Carroll Austin didn't deserve to get fired as much as any of the players deserve to get fired in Cincinnati, right? You obviously, you know, it's a different circumstance, right? Coaches versus players. But Mike Smith got fired by the Buccaneers. And you know what happened to their defense? It stayed crappy. That's football sometimes. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with now, there have been some examples. You know, the Browns are the one that really stands out where you make a coaching shift and all of a sudden things change rapidly. But I'm not disagreeing with the statement or the decision. It's, you know, I always there's a reason why you're doing this if you're Mike Zimmer. But I also don't think that, you know, hey, this happens and all of a sudden things change dramatically. I think it could be that, you know, things might not change that much.
Well, it's only a couple games at 4 o'clock and 4:25, Seattle and San Fran, which I think it might be a more dangerous game than people want to make it out to be. There's something funky about that line being only 3.5. But the Patriots and Steelers, obviously, same exact time, same network, same week, same stadium, blah, blah, blah. Both teams coming off subpar performances, obviously. But the Patriots' record after losses, we don't have to go into that. We know what it is. We know what the record is in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. Which team is more desperate? And if the Patriots should win this one and Kansas City has another brain cramp next week in Seattle, boy, oh, boy, a lot of people around here are going to be upset when they're the number one seed again in 3 weeks. I could absolutely see that scenario happening.
Yeah, I think the team that's more desperate here is Pittsburgh, only because if you look at what could happen with the Patriots, and another team wants to lose, but you know, just from the standpoint that if the Patriots lose, worst case scenario, they're still in first place in their division on Sunday night. Whereas if the Steelers lose, worst case scenario is that they're staring up at the Baltimore Ravens in the standing. If the Ravens beat the Bucs and the Steelers fall to 7-6-1 with two games left after that, and no, by the way, the Browns could be 6-7-1, as unlikely as that may seem in some ways. So the more desperate team, just from a standing standpoint, is the Pittsburgh Steelers. But, you know, the Patriots got dished some humble pie last week, guys. And one of the most memorable finishes to an NFL game that we'll probably ever see. So both of these teams should be as hungry as ever for a win. And not that you're not that way every single week, but that's certainly something to keep in mind. You know, both of these teams should be coming out firing on Sunday. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of points scored in this one.
They should be, but Tomlin always seems to not adjust his game plan at all. Gronk has major games against this team, coming off his best game of the year, obviously, last week. And, you know, Brady 11-2 against the Steelers. Tomlin seems so stubborn when they match up. And I'm just wondering if he's going to learn through the errors of his ways and adjust during the game or just stick with that zone coverage.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit less sort of down on what the Steelers have done against the Patriots. Obviously, the number, you know, I know the Patriots have won several straight games, but you remember that game last week or that last season? You know, that's one of those that like is a nail biter, right? I mean, if it wouldn't surprise anybody if it went the other way. I look at this guys as like two really good teams and two highly competitive quarterbacks. You know, two teams that have dominant weapons. On their offensive side of the ball, and I think it comes down to a couple of things here. First of all, better kicking production. You guys remember last week, the Patriots left 4 points on the board with their kicker, Steven Gostkowski. The Steelers did the same with their kicker, Chris Boswell. And then defensively, who can get a few more stops? And I don't know that it's necessarily just disrupting the quarterbacks up front. That always helps. But who can play better pass defense? Who can cover for a little bit longer on Sunday? That, to me, will be a big part of deciding this game.
Field, just about 30 seconds or so left here. I want you to comment on Carson Wentz, the cracked vertebrae. Looks like it's going to be 3 months of rest in order to fix that. But I did see a crawl for a couple of hours on ESPN that the Eagles were not ruling him out against the Rams. I figure that was just somebody in the Eagles trying to keep the Rams guessing until the last second. And that's, I haven't seen that. The crawl's been taken down. There's no way he's playing again, right?
I don't know about that. I mean, listen, I don't think he's going to play on Sunday night, but I don't think that he's out for the season by any stretch. And maybe we'll find out. Maybe they'll change their minds. But I think the Eagles, who have a thread of hope for the playoffs, are preserving for the possibility that Carson Wentz could return, if not this week, then maybe next week or week 17.
All right. Very good. Have yourself a great weekend. Thanks again.
Thanks, Field.
Thanks, guys. Take care now.
All right.
Thanks. That is Field Yates from ESPN, our NFL insider, brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Check out betterplantoday.com and schedule yourself a free consultation. All right. Very good. Good to have him on. And again, if you're hearing us, then we sound like we're in studio. We are. We told you all week that we were going to be out at the Walmart in Estero collecting bikes. The Beasley bike drive is still continuing. There still are people out there. It just got a little windy, and our tent got blown over and all that, so we're back in the studio, but we are still collecting bikes out there, so please still come by bikes, other unwrapped, brand-new toys, whatever you can bring by. The Toys for Tots, they're all out there still collecting. If you even want to bring it here by the studios, we're about 500 yards south of that Walmart. You can see our big transmitter in the, hanging in the air. We're right underneath it. So come on by, and we'll still take your donations for drop-off.
I just got an update. We're getting closer to our magic number of 1,000 bikes.
Oh, fantastic.
Or 993 for 99.
Yeah, whichever one. I don't really care which one. Right. But we just had 50 bikes donated by the Beasley Media Group. So that,
that's going to
help us get a lot closer.
Very good. I know when we got on the air, we were over 700. So we're getting there. That's fantastic.
Great.
All right, coming up, we've got the Obscure Sports Minute. You know what happens at 4 o'clock, right?
Dominance.
Pigskin picks. I don't know about
mediocrity.
Yeah, there we go.
Gabe Morenci.
Not this week.
And I'll tell you what, coming up in just a couple of minutes, we'll give away a couple of four tickets to the City of Palms Basketball Classic. So hang tight. All that coming up. This is the show that keeps on giving. Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Craig and Pete have you covered on the main sports. Chris will get you covered on everything else. It's the Obscure Sports Minute.
Turn it into the hockey minute here. It's a great thing.
All right.
All right. The Lightning won last night. They beat the Maple Leafs 4-1 in the return of the goalkeeper, Vasilevsky. He had 48 saves of 49 shots.
Awesome. Yeah, I watched a big chunk of that game, too.
Unbelievable. The Lightning now 8 straight wins, and in those 8 games, they have outscored opponents 41-21, and they are also winners in 11 of their last 12. So going from the hottest hockey team in the state to the second hottest hockey team in the state, Florida Everblades.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won again last night.
Right.
They beat the Greenville Swamp Rabbits 3-0.
Nice.
Their fifth straight win. The Blades now 4 points clear of second place in the South Division. How about that? Now, last night, staying with hockey, going back to the big leagues. Do we call it big leagues?
No, the NHL.
I am. The Hurricanes lost to the Canadiens 6-4. It's the third time this year the Hurricanes have requested to wear their home reds while on the road.
Oh,
they're 0-3 in those games. Apparently, the owner doesn't like the white sweater.
Well, they're losing in the other one.
But you're the owner, so change it. Right? And
did
then
they allow them to change back and forth that quickly?
And if you're going to watch a soccer game this weekend, Sunday at 11, it's Liverpool against Manchester United.
Sunday at 11, I'm getting ready for NFL. Yeah.
Oh, you watch pregame shows now, huh?
Actually, I don't.
Yep, what I thought. You just busted
me. You got me. I'll be probably walking out of mass at that time, getting ready for football.
Pray for me?
Yes, I pray for you too all the time.
Thank
pray
you.
Pray for Bill? You pray for Bill?
Bill?
Can we have a Festivus next week?
Oh, I'm bringing to Poland. We got to find
it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, we must have
it's
Festivus.
December, what is it, December? I'm going to watch the episode tonight at some point. Was it December 7th?
Is it I don't know the exact date.
I don't think they ever gave one on the show.
That's why I don't know it.
But it's in December.
Festivus for the rest of us. Chris, you got a date?
December 23rd.
Ah, that's a good time for it. Of course, well, we're on the air. Our last show of the year will be the 21st.
Yeah,
big
it's a
problem
Sunday.
With you, Kruger, and the rest of you people. My son says your company stinks.
Airing of the grievances. Feats of strength.
The side story of that is Elaine's number getting accidentally given to the guy, the off-track betting guy.
Yeah. Good times, man.
Oh, it's Elaine Bennis.
All right, we may have to have Festivus right. Next Friday.
Yes.
Celebrate it early.
You know who's a man? Charlie.
He's a man.
He's a man. And he goes,
I'm a man.
I'm a man.
I'm
a man.
I'm a man.
Charlie.
And I'm winning the pigskin picks.
He's a man.
Got those coming up next. But first, a 4-pack of tickets for you. Day 3, the City of Palms Classic. This will be for Wednesday night at Suncoast Credit Union. Caller number 9-239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. The Pigskin Picks are next on Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.